This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Holy fire chars 10,000 acres. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Friday, August 10th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A fire moving closer to homes in the Lake Elsinore Corona area in California has charred more than 10,000 acres.
Vice President Pence laid out plans for a space force sought by President Trump as a sixth branch of the military.
A judge has ordered the Trump administration to bring a deported mother and daughter back to the U.S. and threatens to hold Attorney General Jeff Sessions in contempt.
The midterm election is posing a dilemma for Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
Everyone that has worked with him in the past describe him as a very thorough investigator and somebody that's, moves at an urgent pace. So he's going to be going as quickly as he can, but also methodically and making sure that he dots all his I's and crosses all of his T's. He's somebody who's extremely thorough.
That's Morgan Chalfont of The Hill. She'll be here in about 10 minutes with that story. Even as the holy fire rips through valleys along the Riverside Orange County, California line, more residents are being ordered to evacuate. And the man accused of setting the blaze, which is now over 10,200 acres, awaits a rescheduled arraignment today. The Cleveland National Forest says mandatory evacuations extend to Elsinore and include all homes on the mountainside of Lake Street. Still, firefighters say they expect favorable weather conditions over the weekend to help them extinguish the growing blaze. Firefighters from around the world have come to help, including Rob Gore of Australia.
We have a good relationship, particularly with America and Canada, and regularly come over here to help, both here and Canada, as well as, we have Canadians and Americans and New Zealanders come to Australia regularly when we need that help.
California Senator Kamala Harris is calling for more federal funding to prevent such blazes.
What we want is that they will have the resources that are dedicated to dealing with active fires, and they will have the resources to deal with the prevention piece, as opposed to having to dip into one fund to do both.
Meanwhile, an arraignment for 51-year-old Forrest Clark was canceled yesterday, but rescheduled for this morning. Among the charges he faces are aggravated arson, making criminal threats, and resisting arrest. The Republican candidate endorsed by President Trump in the Kansas governor's race, Chris Kobach, saw his lead cut to only 91 votes after a county clerk corrected the vote total from Tuesday's election. This morning's Mike Gavin has more.
Kobach, the current Kansas Secretary of State and a staunch ally of Trump, now leads current Governor Jeff Collier in the Republican primary by a razor-thin margin, with potentially thousands more provisional and absentee ballots outstanding. Thomas County Clerk Shelley Harms confirmed to Reuters that Collier's vote total had been corrected to 522, up 100 votes from the number initially reported. Both candidates are listed as having 41% of the vote in the contest. Kansas state law allows for a recount if the vote margin is within half a percentage point, but the candidate has to request the recount. The candidate who requests the recount must pay for it if the results are unchanged by that process. Jen?
Thanks, Mike. Collier, the former lieutenant governor, moved into the top job earlier this year when Republican Sam Brownback took a job in the Trump administration as a religious freedom ambassador. The fast-approaching midterms are posing a dilemma for Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his Russia investigation. With more on the story, Morgan Chalfont of The Hill. Morgan, do we have any idea where we are in this investigation?
No, I mean, one thing that Mueller has made very clear is that he doesn't leak and he doesn't say much publicly. Really, the biggest public moves of this investigation have just been indictments, guilty pleas. So he's not saying much and he's keeping it very close to his chest. We don't know a lot about the pace, scope, or, exact timing of the investigation, when it will run up, how long we expect it to go. But it's clear that he's made some major steps, particularly recently with the hacking indictment for the DNC.
For people who have worked with Mueller in the past, can they assess what kind of a pace he is working at right now?
Everyone that I talk to that has worked with him in the past describe him as a very thorough investigator and somebody that's, moves at an urgent pace. So he's going to be going as quickly as he can, but also methodically, and making sure that he dots all his I's and crosses all of his T's. He's somebody who's extremely thorough. So I think that, you know, he's making sure that he goes down every avenue he needs to and wants to for the investigation, and really trying as much as he can to kind of, ignore outside factors.
All right, Morgan, let's talk about this dilemma. What dilemma does Mr. Mueller face right here?
Well, this is something that has befallen, federal prosecutors and investigators historically. Basically, the issue of the elections and the risk of looking political if you make major public steps in the investigation too close to elections. Obviously, we have the midterms coming up, and President Trump is valid, and it's not a national election, but it's still, his criticism of the Mueller investigation has been very, very loud and increased recently. And if Mueller makes any moves close to the elections, he does risk kind of opening himself up to Republican criticism for doing that. Of course, as we saw with James Comey in 2016, inaction can be seen as political as action. He's gotten quite a bit of criticism, especially from Democrats, for not revealing the existence of the investigation into Russian interference before the 2016 vote.
We are speaking with Morgan Chalfant of The Hill. Morgan, if he waits until after the midterms and then there's some amazing bombshell that comes out of the investigation, will he be criticized for that?
I think that could open him up to criticism as well. James Comey really has suffered that because he did not reveal the existence of that Russia investigation, particularly the probe into whether there's collusion, coordination between Trump's campaign and Moscow, until after. Of course, a lot of the scrutiny for Comey has been because he separately, at the same time, would reveal details about the Clinton investigation. In fact, two weeks before the 2016 election, he revealed that he was reopening it, which, Clinton and her aides have said in part contributed to her loss.
How has the White House been trying to move the needle on public opinion against Mueller?
Well, the White House has been very firm in their criticism. The president has cast the investigation as a witch hunt, and Trump and his lawyers and his allies have really urged Mueller to kind of wrap the investigation up. I think that's a message we'll continue to hear pretty periodically, but the president certainly isn't withholding criticism of the investigation. He's repeatedly said that he thinks it kind of hurts the U.S., and also, following the summit with Putin in Helsinki, recently said that it's also damaged U.S.-Russia relations.
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan Chalfant of The Hill. It's 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Coming up, firing up a space force. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Vice President Mike Pence has laid out a plan to put President Trump's stamp on the armed forces by creating a military command dedicated to space. Pence spoke yesterday at the Pentagon before senior Defense Department leaders and military commanders, many of whom have expressed skepticism about the establishment of a sixth military branch.
To prepare for the next battlefield, where America's best and bravest will be called to deter and defeat a new generation of threats to our people, to our nation.
The new force would be funded in the federal budget for fiscal year 2020, which begins in October 2019. Though Pence didn't offer estimates of the costs involved, he was joined by Secretary of Defense James Mattis.
Space is one of our vital national interests in the sense of our use of space, our operations in space, and it is becoming a contested warfighting domain.
The plan calls for an acceleration of space technology, the creation of a space development agency for next generation space capabilities, and the creation of a pool of space experts who are trained, promoted, and retrained as space warfighting professionals. The creation of the force will need congressional approval. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, the holy fire is encroaching on California's Orange and Riverside counties and was last reported to be only 5% contained. Governor Jerry Brown's declared a state of emergency in the counties. Up north, the Mendocino Complex fire is officially the largest on record in California. It's turned more than 300,000 acres to ashes, and it's not done yet. Cal Fire says it's 51% contained and will likely keep burning through at least September. California Democrat Kamala Harris says the impact of climate change can't be ignored.
Climate change is playing a part in it and has a role in this. And so, as a general matter, then let's all agree on that and think about what we can do to reduce the effects of climate change in California and the rest of the country.
Fire season doesn't usually peak in California until the fall. A widespread search continues for potential suspects who shot two undercover Camden County, New Jersey police officers while they were sitting in their unmarked car Tuesday night at a red light. A reward of at least $50,000 is being offered for information leading to the shooter's arrest and conviction. The reward offered for the safe return of missing University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts has grown to over $300,000. The 20-year-old was seen jogging July 18th in the town of Brooklyn, and her family reported her missing the next day. Crime Stoppers of Central Iowa has passed on more than 800 tips to authorities. In Yemen, at least 29 children have been killed, dozens wounded in a Saudi-led coalition airstrike. The International Committee of the Red Cross says the kids were traveling on a bus that was hit at a market in the northern province of Sada. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert.
We call on the Saudi-led coalition to conduct a thorough and transparent investigation into the incident. We take all credible accounts of civilian casualties very seriously.
The coalition's backing Yemen's government in a war with Shiite rebels known as Houthis. A federal judge was outraged when he learned two asylum seekers in a group case fighting deportation were at that moment being deported and on a plane to El Salvador. D.C. District Judge Emmett Sullivan then ordered the women back to the U.S. and threatened to hold Attorney General Jeff Sessions in contempt. The pair will be returned to a Texas detention center while the case is pending. The parents of First Lady Melania Trump were granted United States citizenship in New York City yesterday. They'd been living in the U.S. with green cards sponsored by their daughter. The path to citizenship, what's known as chain migration, a family-based immigration program President Trump has called not acceptable.
Thank you, Rasa. Coming up, the shame of pouring bacon fat down the drain. Ever pour the liquid bacon grease down the drain? Apparently a lot of people do, even knowing they shouldn't. Laura Cordy of the Wall Street Journal has written a story entitled Everyone Pours Bacon Fat Down the Drain, Everyone Lies About It. Laura, who did you talk to for your story?
Well, I talked to a lot of just everyday people who I actually found online who admitted to kind of covertly dumping this bacon fat down the drain. So it wasn't anybody special. It's kind of just your average everyday American who does this.
And what kinds of problems did they have after pouring grease down the drain?
Well, you know, the people I talked to were actually lucky enough not to have any problems, but it can get pretty bad. One of the women I talked to, her roommates actually were doing it a lot, and it basically created a 3-foot-long fat blockage in her drain. It can cause really bad plumbing problems. You usually have to get somebody in with a machine to scrape it out. You know, Drano won't fix this type of thing, and so it can get really expensive really fast and flood your house, honestly.
Laura, what did people not understand about sending liquid bacon grease down the drain?
People don't quite get that when you pour the bacon grease down the drain, it becomes solid. Usually it hardens like candle wax, but if you do it over time, it can get really solid, like a block of hard, dry soap. The plumbers that I talk to, you know, basically talk about it. If it's been down there long enough, it can get like concrete. So it might start out liquid, but it does not stay liquid.
We're speaking with Laura Cordy of the Wall Street Journal. Now, I could see where homeowners wouldn't necessarily have a problem with this, but I think you spoke to some people who worked in restaurants. This has to be a huge problem.
It is, and you know, most restaurant workers know better. I did talk to one woman who didn't quite understand what was going to happen. I think that she had just never you know, poured bacon grease down the drain or seen anybody else do it. She didn't really think it was a problem. But restaurants, actually, most of them have these grease traps, which have to be cleaned out regularly. Grease traps that catch, you know, everything that's coming down from the dishwashers. And so it's a huge deal for restaurants, and they usually have a pretty good way of dealing with it. But like you might have read, you know, that's not a fail-safe. Sometimes stuff does get through and it does clog the drains.
Laura, the people you talked to, did they admit it when they threw stuff down the drain they shouldn't have?
You know, the key to getting this was finding the spouses of the people who did this, because it's usually the spouses who know better and complain. So I talked to, I actually found one man who on Twitter, you know, wrote that the wife's away, it's time to pour bacon grease down the drain. So I was able to talk to him, and he said, you know, he knows better, but sometimes if it's a little bit, he'll still do it. And I talked to his wife, who actually does this for a living, overseeing water waste system repairs. So she's been there when they dig up the pipes and they see, you know, the grease clogged up in the drains. So when her husband was about to pour it down, pour the bacon grease down the drain, she stopped him and kind of freaked out. So that's kind of, you know, they do admit to it after a while, but, you know, everybody I talked to had a good sense of humor about it.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Cody of the Wall Street Journal. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
On this Friday, August 10th, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. Vice President Pence laid out plans for a space force sought by President Trump as a sixth branch of the military. A district judge has ordered an asylum-seeking mother and daughter return to the U.S., and threatened to hold Attorney General Jeff Sessions in contempt. North Carolina allows the first alligator hunt in more than 40 years. And a good start for top pick Baker Mayfield, who led the Browns to a preseason win over the Giants last night. And a happy ending for A Dog Tale. That story in about 20 minutes. This business update is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at MichiganBusiness.org. Contact them today. Well, we've been talking about tariffs for months now, but what impact have they really had? Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman joins us now with the Trade War Scorecard. Rick, let's start with the steel and aluminum tariffs. What's their impact been on U.S. companies and consumers?
Well, they've apparently helped steel and aluminum producers who say profits are up and they're considering opening a few new factories. But they've also raised costs for companies that purchase steel and aluminum. That would be automakers, appliance makers, and lots of things you might not ordinarily think of. There's a nail company that has been hurt by this and says its business is down and it may have to lay off workers because the price of the metals that it buys has gone up by a considerable amount. Those tariffs range from 10 to 25%, so that might not sound low. If you need to buy a lot of those metals and your costs go up by 10 to 25%, that's a big hit. I mean, a lot of companies don't even have a 10% profit margin, or they're lucky if they do. So that, you know, when they have to endure cost increases like this, they really have to change things and reconsider how they do business.
In a lot of recent earnings conference calls, we started hearing more specifics from companies ranging from Volvo all the way to PepsiCo. Even cans are going to cost more.
Cans are going to cost more. And the other thing, this is kind of the easy part to predict, is when you know that the cost of a particular commodity is going up, then you can kind of do the analysis and says, well, here's how this is going to affect us when you figure out how much of that commodity you buy. The thing that's a little harder to predict are the retaliatory tariffs that other countries have put on the United States in response to the tariffs President Trump has put on their imports to our country. So I think that is having a little bit more of an impact than maybe the tariffs that we've placed on imports to the United States so far. The big example of that has been Harley-Davidson, which said it's not going to manufacture the motorcycles it sends to Europe here in the United States. It's going to manufacture them in India or Thailand so that they don't have to pay the tariff that the Europeans put on American imports to their countries. This does not yet affect a big enough basket of products that is really showing up in the overall economic numbers, but it is definitely showing up in the pockets of the economy that are affected by this. And Trump has promised a lot more, I should say threatened a lot more of this if he doesn't get what he wants from some of our trading partners. So it could get a lot worse.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, if you could delve a little bit more into the auto sector, it's a little confusing because those parts are made in the U.S. and often outside. So a lot of foreign companies are making cars in the U.S. even.
Right. So just to clarify this, because there are so many headlines going around, it's very hard to keep track of what's going on. So we do have the new tariffs on steel and aluminum, and that directly affects automakers because they buy a lot of steel and aluminum. So their costs are going up a little bit, and they are going to try to pass those costs on to consumers. So eventually, cars are going to cost more, and the question is, will consumers pay more, or will they say, nah, I don't really want to pay the extra, whatever it might be, 1% for the car, and they can't pass along to consumers, in which case it just comes out of their profit margins. The other big thing that's going on here is one of the sets of tariffs that Trump has threatened is a tariff of as high as, I think, 20% on all imported automobiles and imported auto parts. That would be a giant deal if it were to happen. So Trump has put tariffs on about $110 billion worth of goods so far. Auto imports count for about $210 billion worth of goods. So he would be effectively tripling the amount of imports that are subject to tariffs. There are imported parts in every single car made everywhere in the world. I mean, there is just no such thing as a car that is made 100% in the United States with American parts or 100% in Japan with Japanese parts or wherever you might, Germany. There's no such thing. I mean, this is truly a global industry, probably as much as any industry there is, because there are just so many parts in a car. I mean, there are thousands of parts in a car, and they come from everywhere. So if you start to impose tariffs on that, it's going to create a real scramble in this industry. There will definitely be winners and losers. Some people will be better off. Some companies, some small manufacturers will probably go out of business, and the cost of cars will go up, and it will go up enough that consumers will really notice, and it will hit them in their pocketbook.
Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. It's 20 minutes before the hour on this morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin's here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's some good news. If you typically walk around wearing expensive jewelry, we seem to be getting much better if you accidentally throw it in the trash. The latest comes from San Diego, where a $30,000 ring that was accidentally thrown out was located at a landfill in a matter of only 4 minutes. The city of San Diego said in a Facebook post that the ring accidentally ended up in the trash while the owner and her family were cleaning their home. The family realized the ring had been thrown out just after the garbage truck left their block, and they contacted city officials for help. San Diego Environmental Services workers used GPS to identify which truck to check at the landfill, and the family and sanitation workers were able to find the ring in only a matter of minutes.
I'd say that's beyond lucky.
Yes. And that's what they said. I mean, they said this, I guess this happens fairly often, and it at least takes a few hours. The fact that it took, first of all, $30,000 ring, very expensive, and then we only found it in a couple minutes. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, if you throw out something that's like a vase or something, that's one thing, but a ring is...
I will never have the privilege of probably wearing anything that costs $30,000, but I don't think I'd be cleaning my house while wearing something like that, or I'd be scared to walk around in it just... Anyway,
when I win the lottery, I will buy you a $30,000 ring, okay?
Yeah, and I will never be wearing it here, I can tell you that much, for fear of losing it in any number of ways.
Yeah.
And a correction, Jen, to a story we told you about earlier this week. What appeared to be the story of the summer turned out to be too good to be true. Numerous outlets reported that two elderly men snuck out of their retirement home to attend Germany's largest heavy metal festival, but that wasn't entirely true. According to new details from police, the two men were not elderly and did not not actually go to the festival, but instead went to a party nearby. The two men, aged 58 and 59, left a home for people with mental health issues to attend a party in Watkin near the festival. One part of the story was true. The two men were found, quote, helpless, disoriented, and intoxicated, waiting for a bus home at a Main Street stop after the buses had stopped running at 3 a.m. on Saturday. Not surprisingly, police said alcohol had contributed to their helpless situation.
Helpless.
Yes, yes. So this went from, like, super fun story to, you know, somewhat sad and alarming story about these two guys who unfortunately went out and had a night they probably shouldn't have had.
And elderly at age 58 or 59 right. is the worst part of this right. story by far.
Right, that made everybody in this place feel extremely old.
Good grief.
You wonder how something like this happens, how these details kind of get skewed. It's almost like a case of telephone. Like,
yeah, right.
If one person told another person who told another person, then five people down the line, police got the details, which were completely wrong. About
it wasn't
the whole
a concert.
Thing.
It was a house. They weren't elderly. It was this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yikes. Thanks, Mike. It's 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Well, being expected to check work email during non-work hours is making employees, as well as their significant others, experience higher levels of anxiety. Researchers from Virginia Tech found that the sheer expectation of monitoring work email rather than the amount of time spent doing so led to increased anxiety in both employees and their significant others. The study's co-author told ABC that some employees admitted to monitoring their work email from every hour to every few minutes, which resulted in higher levels of anxiety and conflict between spouses. Significant others also reported decreased relationship satisfaction. Both partners reported negative health impacts from the increased anxiety, including changes in appetite, concentration, focus, and decreased quality of sleep. The study team suggests a few methods for employers and employees to lessen these negative effects, manage employer expectations on after-hours email, and help employees to engage in mindfulness practices to reduce anxiety, no matter what after-hours expectations are. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jennifer, California Democrat Kamala Harris is calling for more federal funding to prevent wildfires that are exhausting firefighters and resources across her state.
They do the work they do on behalf of people that they will never meet in many instances, people who will never know their names, and they work around the clock, dedicated to keeping our community safe, and they don't get enough support, frankly.
At least 20,000 Foothill and Canyon residents have evacuated as a growing wildfire churns through the Cleveland National Forest south of Los Angeles. Most of it's burning unpopulated wildlands, but crews with air support are trying to keep flames away from Santiago Peak, where critical communication infrastructure for the region is located. Paul Manafort's loans took up the eighth day of his bank fraud and tax evasion trial. A bank employee told jurors she found discrepancies on his loan application, including his claims about a New York City property. She testified he told her it would be a second residence, but she found it listed for rent on a real estate website. The bank caps loans for rentals at a lower rate. In a speech at the Pentagon, Vice President Mike Pence laid out the administration's plan for a space force in what would be the first new branch of the military in more than 70 years.
As President Trump has said in his words, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space. And so we will.
The move could significantly reorganize the military and potentially strip the Air Force of some key responsibilities. It would still need congressional approval. Tennessee applied the death penalty for the first time in nearly a decade last night. Just hours earlier, the U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for the execution, denying Billy Ray Eyrick's request for a stay. He was convicted of the 1985 rape and murder of a 7-year-old girl. A federal judge hears arguments today in the lawsuit by Illinois-based drug manufacturer Fresenius Kabi against the state of Nebraska. The firm alleges the state illegally obtained two of its drugs and plans to use them to execute convicted murderer Carrie Dean Moore. The suit could delay Moore's execution scheduled for Tuesday. DSW's new store on the Las Vegas Strip has been wowing shoe lovers this week with its exclusive Shoevader. Described as a shoe vending machine, it's a display wall of shoes with three elevator lifts filled from a mezzanine level over the sales floor. You order footwear through your phone or on a tablet kiosk nearby in the store, and it comes to you via the Shoevader.
That sounds very fun. I might have to visit that, but I don't need an elevator. How do you try them on? You got to walk through. You got to look at them. You got to practice in your shoes.
I'm sure if that's what you want, they can make that happen for you too.
All right. I'll have to check it out. Thanks, Russell. Well, there's a happy ending for this particular dog tale. USA Today reports that a service dog named Wrigley was reunited with his Marine Corps veteran owner on Wednesday, one day after the dog was stolen from a gas station. The two-year-old Rhodesian Ridgeback mix was inside the veteran's vehicle when it was stolen. According to a tweet from the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, the vehicle was later recovered on the east side, but the dog was no longer inside. Lana Sue and Tim Widner turned to social media for help finding their dog. A Facebook post Tuesday was shared more than 536,000 times and received more than 19,000 comments. A tweet was posted asking for tips in finding the animal, and that was retweeted more than 500 times. Many people responded with sightings and tips on the dog's location. On and off-duty police officers responded to a call from a community member who found him. A video posted by the Indianapolis Metro Police say Wrigley was scared, but after encouragement, he came out to find his mom. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kashinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.